Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to be in your presence, knowing that you're not a God who is afar off. You certainly weren't that way when by omniscience and omnipotence you could deal with every single one of us, no matter where we were. But now you come down amongst us and make yourself welcome in the bride, which we are very grateful to say welcome. Just tremendous privilege to have you here in the form of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God once more. Just at this last day, the hour before destruction, and yet the hour before deliverance, Lord. We're so happy for that, and we thank you, Lord, that it's out of our hands, that the invitation all has been of you, the working, the performing has been of you, and we take no claim or no credit whatsoever. Just happy, Lord, that you are here and have made us welcome, and we make you welcome, O God. We pray now you reveal yourself by your word to us this afternoon, that we might not fall to err or stumble anyway, but be illumined with the knowledge of God that has that deep pervasive effect upon us, even to the transfiguring of our bodies, Lord. And we know that this is true, this is at our fort, and we're very grateful, and we count ourselves apart because we're a part of that revelation which you've made known to us. We give thee praise and give thee glory in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated now. Let's not forget that Brother Terry's with us on Tuesday at 7:30, and I guess that's all I can say, except we're in for a good time. I know you appreciate his ministry, and we'll just see what happens in future. Perhaps there's others also that can come by that are very knowledgeable in the word of this hour. Now, we're going to continue with the why he is present. This is called message number 6, The Judge and the Bride. And, of course, we'll just get into it with the messages continuing as we go along. And we're going to get into the book of Revelation again, chapter 1, 12 to 18. And I got myself a stool here, and the reason I got it was that I figured that teaching is not meant to be preaching. So it kind of holds me down up here. And if I jump off the stool and start running around, you'll know I went back to Midland instead of teaching. So I'm just going to see what happens this way. And don't you feel bad. You know, whatever I do up here, don't you worry about. As long as I try to preach the word of the Lord. All right, we're getting to Revelation 1, 12 to 18. And it says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, that's really lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and hair is white like wool, as white as snow. Eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and last. I'm either living or was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, the words which we have just read are a description of what John saw first in the series of visions that he had on the Isle of Patmos, because he was in Patmos and these visions broke to him over a period of time. And this vision that we saw here is the number one of the series, is based on Revelation 1:1. And Revelation 1 and 10. 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his messenger, unto his servant John. And then in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. Now here then is a revelation of Jehovah Savior, who was in Christ, and is now seen in the day of the Lord. Now, that's what we're looking at. This is, as Brother Branham said, projects over into the day of the Lord. And in the day of the Lord, he stands as judge. Now, in the Patmos vision, page 103, Brother Branham said he was not a priest during this time. Neither was he king. He was judge. John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as the judge. He is the judge, the supreme judge. And John shows that he wasn't in the days of his prophecy as a prophet, neither was he plumb into the days of his kingship, but he was in the day of the Lord as judge. And he quotes from John 5:22, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Then again in page 105, where Brother Branham comments on Daniel 7, which is the same vision back there that Daniel had in the sense of the same personage. Old ancient judges wore white wigs. He saw him as a judge, not as priest, not as king, not as prophet, but as judge. He's judge now, come to judge the nations. Now notice that four roles in the drama of the eternal ages are mentioned by the prophet. God, not in four persons, but the same God in four roles is set before us here, prophet, priest, judge, king. And even these four roles are not sufficient to begin to describe him completely, because he's also known, as we know, the messenger of the covenant, and the captain of the host of Israel, and many, many other titles. That's just to mention a couple. Now, all these roles that we mention here, and many more that we haven't mentioned, have been rehearsed or manifested or dramatized in theophanies, which theophanies took the form of a man. Now, the word theophany isn't always man. The word theophany is simply from two Greek words, theo and phanero. The word theo, of course, is God. And when you get into the word phanero, you find it talks about showing forth. So when God began to bring himself into view, which is the same thing Brother Branham called the onmorpha from the book of Philippians, taking upon himself the form of a man, it is simply God using a form, which in this case we're talking about he used the form of a man, not a cloud, not a pillar of fire, not a whirlwind, and so on so. Now all these roles have been rehearsed or produced in theophanies in the form of a man, and though at one time these outward forms of men were direct creations of God, there is now a glorified human form born of a woman, but true flesh coming from a womb that God veils himself in as the hour necessitates for the great drama. Now, you can understand what I'm saying. There was a time that God created these bodies in the form of a man. Now, in the form of a man that we're used to and what we're looking at, that form is human flesh from the womb of Mary that God now veils himself in as is necessitated. Now, if it's not necessitated, he's not going to use it. So that's why he clothed himself at this time in a pillar of fire. The body was not necessary. It was used elsewhere for another purpose, not in the consideration of deity, but in the consideration of his manhood because he was priest. You follow me? Huh? Don't follow me? We could be here all day. Anybody not get what I'm saying? Huh? You follow me? Well, if you don't say something, or kind of raise your eyebrows, or put a one up or something, I can't tell you well, see, because I can't look at you all and try to figure you out. All right. So, all these roles, where God must manifest in such a way as to relate, to give recognition, communication, it seems the one he used the most was the form of a man, which was created. Now, the form of the man you and I are most used to, which is I and my Father are one, the Father dwelleth in me, was flesh that was not created, and God knows what happened to it. I know. Just went back, being Logos. I don't know all the answers. But I know that this time we are more concerned with the one that came forth from the womb of Mary. Human flesh. Now, God uses a form as is necessary. The hour, the event, the condition necessitates it. Now, don't forget that. Because nobody else knows that but us. Oh, old theologians do, but they're not very bright anyway. They only know it and they go, who cares? You know, they walk off. We know better. See, we know better. No need for this God to be here in the form that came from Mary's womb. Now, he could come here in an angel form. No problem. Come here in a pillar of fire. No problem. Come here in a whirlwind. No problem. What necessitates it? What hour? What condition? See, that's it. You follow me? So that's why, no, all right now, let's follow this through. Prophet. God has always been prophet. The prophet said God's his own prophet. Now look, that's simple to understand how God is his own prophet and how God is prophet. Because the words of a man don't work. No way. I don't care who says it. There's got to be a power behind it. Now, ancient kings, and even modern kings and dictators, they can say, okay, you don't listen to me, off goes your head. They can do it. But you ask them whether it's going to rain or not tomorrow. I don't care if they got the best computers in the world and the finest, what do you call these guys to predict the weather? I knew more years than they ever did. I used to read the paper about, 20-some years ago just for fun. And I'd go outside and say, they're wrong. I knew they were wrong. I didn't have to look at the stars. Something told me they're wrong. I did it day after day after day after day. Something inside of me told me. Well, now, look. To predict a future is predicated upon a foreknowledge backed by power. Or a power that can emit a foreknowledge. Because if you haven't got the power to do a thing, shut your mouth. You know? That's why parents threaten their kids all the time. And then the kids laugh and say, ha, ha, ha. You know? So God has always been prophet, but openly manifested after he created and set and inhabited the universe in order. Now, he always was prophet. But he and not the prophet's idea. So he was a prophet within himself. So he was a foreknower and a producer. Then he begins creating toward habitation. Inhabitants in the habitation. Now, he's got someone to talk to. So, he becomes a prophet to the inhabitants, right? Okay, read again. God has always been prophet, but openly manifested after he created and set and inhabited the universe in order and thus put forth his prophetic utterances that before he only thought that included his knowledge. Now, not just included his knowledge, I'm going to read what's included with the knowledge. So not only included his knowledge, but also his creatorial and maintaining power in relation to the inhabitants, and thus informed those inhabitants of foreknowledge unto predestination. Which simply means, I tell you, it's going to happen. That's foreknowledge. And predestination, it does happen. Right? Okay. Now we understand each other to this point. King. He ruled in the heavens absolutely. And he does rule. And in earth all things are even now under his sovereignty to the end that his purposes will prevail. I'll read you scripture on that. I won't read scripture and everything. We just talk about it. We know it's true anyway. All right. Daniel 4:34-35. Nebuchadnezzar finally smartened up. The end of the days that Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me. And oh, brother, what an understanding. You know, it pays to go crazy, to lose your own mind, to get the mind of God. Smarts is smarts. But wisdom is wisdom. I bless the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And that came from a heathen king who got converted. All right, king, judge, number 3. He keeps order by constantly watching over His word to perform it. Get that in Jeremiah and the Psalms. And all decisions required by and in predestination are already set through His word, which He enforces. See? Judge. Let's read some scripture on that. I'll read it over again. Judge. Keeps order by constantly watching over His word to perform it. Now notice, judge and king are a lot alike. Yeah. Judge and prophet's a lot alike. They gotta be. Cause they all are in there by decree. Whereas a prophet, to whom the word comes, can judge according to the word, and a king is able to set a decree which he enforces. A judge is that one which is considering only the word, whether it came to him or not. Whether that word is by precedence, which it would be, or how, if it's effectual, that judge is set to interpret it and to give decision which bodies are within the judiciary to carry it out. Follow? Like our United States government. Okay. So, he keeps order by constantly watching over his word to perform it. And all decisions required by and in predestination are already set there through his word which he enforces. In other words, foreknowledge sets the tenor of predestination. Predestination is the actual conditions and manifestations which should obtain. And they will obtain. Because God won't fail. But other conditions can also set there, as we saw perversion come in. So therefore, there has to be someone who can tell us what should be the logical outcome of that word, or the right outcome of the word, and in doubt, what is the pronouncement if it is genuine or should be brought back a certain way? See, that's judge. Then if somebody else has got to carry that out and enforce it, that's under the judge. Now that's a lot different from king. See, because the judge has enforcement powers arrogated to him through that which is superior to him. But there's nobody superior to a king. See, nobody over king. So these things have their roots in each other. We'll get into that a little more. Time goes on. But at certain specific periods, as is necessary, these elements that are within God and manifest uniquely in men so that we understand He in His own sovereign times and seasons will manifest in these areas such as prophet, priest, judge, king. That's what I'm talking about. See? Okay. Let's go to John 1. Now, Jim begins the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. Same as you with John. God, all things made by Him, without His nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and so on. Okay, just thumb over quickly to Colossians 1. And we'll just follow up in that. 17. He is before all things, and by Him all things are maintained. The word consist means maintained. Okay, let's just quickly go back to Romans. And we go to Romans 11. And verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? For who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him and shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory. So, you're looking at the complete gamut here. Of where He can act in any of these capacities based upon the Word. He even makes the wrath of man to praise Him. Says the psalmist, the remainder of wrath He doth restrain. All right, as priest, we saw Him in a theophany, which was formed in a human figure, and He was Melchizedek, priest-king, wherein He served Abraham the elements pertaining to His magnificent role, Redeemer, Savior, Good Shepherd. Now, this priest-king, which was Elohim, in a theophany,
a body he made. And he stood there as a man. And what I like about this, and I always tell you, what intrigues me so much, is that here was a man, a king with a kingdom. Oh, now, kingdoms were very small in those days. A city could be a kingdom. You know. Like I hear there's a black fella down in the States somewhere, down south, that's got a, he's made himself king. I think it's in the Carolinas. And the government laughs and goes along with it because a lot of money comes to that little town. Because he's king. Well, fap, he's the king of his imagination. But the guy isn't dumb. He's not some scrupled up idiot. He's smart because the bucks are rolling in. He's pulling a racket on the white guy. So it serves you right. You know. But you see, he's no more king there than nothing. You know. But here's the point. This man Melchizedek, which was a theophany. Do you realize that God was right down there with a bunch of people? And nobody knew who he was but Melchizedek? I mean, but Abraham? You know, listen. Let your minds go. If, you know, I'll tell you what. If this word that we believe today was not living word, it is at least the most intriguing, mind-titillating, mind-boggling, incisive word that's ever been in the world. Yeah. Because in Paul's day, if this is the word, it couldn't be fulfilled. Today is it. And just look back. To people, and people, you think anybody but us poor idiots have lost our mind like Nebuchadnezzar to get the mind of Christ? Do you think they believe the fact that here was an actual king with a retinue and a little palace, and that was God? Well, you can't believe nothing then. What makes you think you can believe John had the Holy Ghost before he's born? Ha! You know, see, if I can't believe these things, why am I talking? Then you say, I believe I'm going to suddenly see the dead come out of the ground? Ha! Say, come on, you bunch of jerks. Look, I've always told them before, if you can't lift 10 pounds today, you ain't going to lift 10 pounds tomorrow. Or 100 pounds tomorrow, put it that way. Because that's what it really should say, 100 pounds tomorrow. Now, if people simply can't believe this book and say, hey, look at that. You ain't going nowhere, you're going to sit right here. And I want to be nice to you and love you, but I might as well be honest with you. I don't intend to be sitting here with you. Because look, I know that Melchizedek was literally God in a human form. Yeah. And he's eating and drinking. You say God eating and drinking. Mind your own business. Yeah. It's just, you know what I mean. Look. If there ever was high time to believe, it's high time to believe now. Now, the one speaking those words, or the one that was there with Abraham and spoke and conversed and gave him the elements, foreshadows Luke 22:14-18. All I got to do is get a lamp of fire up here, and I'll keep my voice low next time. We better get one of these this week, Brother Evans. You and I got to do some shopping. What does the trustee stand at the door and reach in their pocket to get the money when you and I shop? I don't care how they do it. Go pay our own way. All right. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said, with desire, by desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I'll not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, who's he fulfilling? Abraham covenant of the elements. Back there in Genesis. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He's going to drink it again. He took the bread and broke it. This is my body. You eat it. This is the cup of New Testament. which is shed for you. This remembrance of me. Now, he tells them that it's going to be done anew in the kingdom. So, that's where he is king. See? Now, however, notice who is speaking this in Luke. It is he who is the sacrificial lamb. He said, I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I'm the lamb that suffers. But the Lamb is the Logos who has become flesh. Now, standing right there, is that one, the original Logos? The one standing there is the same Melchizedek. But this time, it is a body of flesh from the virgin womb, before it was simply created in the form of the man. Whether God disintegrates, what he does, I don't know. I just believe the word. Now, this, what we see here, this one we're talking about, who is the Logos? The same one that was Melchizedek, way back there in another form. This is what we want to talk about for a while, to set a clear pattern for this hour, if we can. It'll make us see why Brother Branham said both prophet, priest, and king, and then he said prophet, judge, and king. So, Brother Branham spoke of a prophet turned judge and yet to be king. He also spoke of a priest turned judge and yet to be king, right? Okay, follow me? Okay. The first, prophet, judge, king, is purely Elohim. Prophet, judge, king. God is prophet, using a mask when he desires. God is judge, using a mask when he desires. God is king, using a mask when he desires. The Old Testament brings this up perfectly. Moses sat there, prophet, judging the tribes. Moses goes off the scene, Samuel comes on the scene, judges Israel by the same word. But he does not receive the word, he adjudicates by reason of the word. And if he did not have prophetic insight, he would have no revelation how to adjudicate by the word. He's got to know, go to God and get it. What does this mean? We saw that in Moses. Well, last Wednesday, when we looked in the book of Numbers, and we saw a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And they said, hey, I don't think this is right. So they put him in a little place by himself, in isolation. And Moses went to God and he said, now, is this right that this man can pick these sticks up when the Lord says, no, he's got to die for what he did? So therefore, to be judged requires revelation, interpretation. You're putting it with the prophetic because the seeds of the prophetic are there and the life of the prophetic that gives it is the same life that interprets it, not another life. So, the next thing we saw is a king. Saul had to judge Israel. He did a lousy job. So God raised up his own judge king. So we have prophet, judge, king. But everyone has the elements of prophet and judge. Can't get away from it. See? You can't do it. That's why you got church order. Brother Ban, what about this? What about that? What about that? Brother Ban said so. So they said, well, we'll have our own way. And he walked off. See? He got in trouble. Now then, that's Jehovah. We look back on Old Testament. And we want to go into that to see how that makes it prophet, priest, and king. That's how it works out in this hour. Then we'll see how Elohim, as the one who was, is, and is to come, the Almighty. Now, see? Now, you heard I said that's Elohim. Now, keep your thinking caps on, because Brother Branham, I already told you, everybody likes rabbit's foot, not horseshoes. Rabbit's foot. Horseshoes, same thing. Yeah. So, they hear Brother Branham say to Hattie Wright, Hattie Mosher. When she says, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. And to Fred Barker, one day you'll say the right thing. So, everybody wants a rabbit's foot. So, a guy that was around here years ago, you know, old Joe Hankins. I might as well mention the name because he's the bird that did it. He went out to Tucson and he came back in 75 or 6 and he had a secret. Now we got this right on tape and there's lots of preachers heard it. We're not lying to you, telling you. Now he said, listen, he said, I got my secret from God. And he said, I dastn't tell anybody. No, you dastn't. You, Brother Branham, you dastn't tell anyone. Well, which is a good enough expression. Now he said, when you get your secret, you dastn't tell anybody. And that's going to put you in the rapture. Rabbit's foot. Now, I know that it's a revelation going to put you in the rapture. But I don't believe this stuff. Because Brother Branham put on tape for everyone to hear those secrets. Right. Of what you say right back to God. And it's right on the tape where he talks about son of man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. And he said, you got to give back to God the right words. Now, he also said that the bride ministers to the husband what the husband provides, and thereby blessing it to come back. Now, let's look at the prophet and the widow. All right, the prophet said, what have you got in the house? So that set the tenor. That's the prophet's word. That's God's word. She said, I have this oil and bit of meat. He said, bring it to me. Now, he said, you bake a little cake and you give it to me and you watch what happens. So she did it, and from then God turned his word back on it, and the meal never ceased, nor did the oil, until there was no necessity. Like the Holy Ghost baptizes people, there's no necessity. And when the last one's in, there's no necessity. See? All right. We're looking at how we are not in a place of the rabbit's foot. We're not in the place of the up for grabs or the guesswork. We're in the place of revelation. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Then we'll see how Elohim, as the one who was, is, and is to come, the Almighty, slides from prophet in this hour to judge and king with the one who is called Jesus, who has become priest and will be judge and king. Now, in the book of Revelation, you've got the designations, which we'll go into. One signifying in the absolute Elohim. One signifying, the other signifying, Jesus the Christ, the Logos, that was made flesh. All right. Here's what the prophet said concerning what I read. Read again. We'll see how Elohim, as the one who was and is to come, the Almighty, slides from prophet in this hour right to judge and king with the one who is called Jesus, who is priest and becomes judge and king when Elohim takes on the full representation of the might and the power of judge, showing things into enforcement. Now, here is what the prophet said. When the Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Spirit becomes incarnated to us, in the form of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. Now, he tells you right there, the Elohim with the prophet, veiled in a pillar of fire, has obligated himself to become judge and king. At the same time, the priest is here, the human element, the virgin-produced body, which we'll talk about in a little while, is there on the throne to fulfill all that's been committed unto him. He will be judge and king. There'll be one. Now, the elements are still here. That's why I'm always cautious to let you know we're in a transition period. And if you don't get the transitions, you get nothing. Because it is Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man. And everybody but us misses it. They miss the Son of Man. You with me? I hope you all are. I don't know. All right. Exactly so. Read again. When the Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Spirit, becomes incarnated to us in the form of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. See? And you two of them, king and judge, will slide in a groove very tight. Judge is coming to it. King unites. Judge separates, so to speak. King takes preeminence. Judge comes back. Prophetic elements there because your review's back. Now, you didn't catch what I was saying. I was talking about the white throne judgment. I was talking about the millennium. I was talking about now going into a logical sequence. So try to listen carefully. Exactly so, what I've said, what Brother Branham said, I quote it. And it is at that time the judgments of God fall. at that time of the reincarnation. See? God going from pillar of fire and a prophet. Prophet's gone. Pillar of fire. Son of Man ministry. Prophetic word. Shout. Here it is. Now watch it swing over. When? As it peters out. As it fulfills its time. See? Begins moving, moving, moving. See? Okay. Revelation 15 and 1. 2:8. I'll put this together for you as time goes on. Just hold everything. I, son of the sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels have a seven last plagues for them and fill the wrath of God. All right? Seven angels with the great plagues, tribulation. I saw as it were a sea of glass being with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Not harps of gold, but harps of God. Now watch that sea of glass being with fire. They're the ones that are in victory. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, and thy judgments are made manifest. He's incarnated. Reincarnated. After I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony of heaven was open. Seven angels came out of the temple of heaven, the seven plates clothed in pure white and linen, having their breastplate of golden girdles. Now there you are again, like a bunch of judges. Embodiments. One of the four beasts gave unto seven angels, seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, lives forever and ever. The temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of seven angels were fulfilled. Notice 3 and 4. Sang the song of Moses, servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. What did they call the Lamb? Lord God Almighty. Why? He's incarnated. He has seen me, has seen the Father. I am the Father are one. King of the saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, Lord Jesus Christ? For only thou art holy. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. See, there he is. There he is. There he is reincarnated. Okay, so listen. We are looking at the premise, not promise, but the premise of God, Elohim Jehovah. That is the principle, the basic. We're looking at the doctrine. Elohim Jehovah, Holy Spirit, who is Spirit, that no man can see or has seen, became flesh. And through that, literally, he became his own mediator. One who stands between to effect recognition, reconciliation, and accord. And who, and also redeemer of mankind to God, and priest unto God from the human need set forth. Now there's a great human need. And this one, who is Spirit, becomes his own mediator. Now let's check that out. The book of Galatians. I'm not too bright today and not too bright any time, so I might not be able to find it. Well, I got it. Third chapter. Verse 20, now mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. It tells you right there that no man can be his own mediator. He's a dictator. A mediator signifies three people are in a group. Or three elements. And one element is to bring the two other elements together. So what does God do? He comes down and brings man to himself, making reconciliation. God was in Christ making reconciliation. See? Mediator. Now how does he do it? See? What allows this? Where God can do it? All right. According to the human need. All right. Go back to Genesis 3:15. Here the trouble has set in. Chaos. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. It'll bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Alright. Seed. Okay. When you talk about seed, you talk about that which comes out of a seed. So there's a new creation of people going to be on the earth. That's why he's called the first fruit. And we're a first fruit unto him because of the first resurrection. So it's predicted here. Tells it's going to come through the woman. Woman doesn't have seed. She's in there to help it. But, okay, back to Isaiah 9. There's another verse we should all quote, but as soon as I memorize it, I forget it. Get it mixed up. Verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government to be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall be called. Notice what they're calling his name. Of the increase of government and peace, there be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish judgment with justice, from henceforth forever, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will do it. Now notice the elements in there. God, man, prophet, priest, king, judge. Everything sits in there. The all in all. Now, let's go to Luke 1. A little more about this. 30:38. The angel said, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth the son, you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be great. Call the son of the highest. Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. That's the one he's talking over there about. He's going to be called Mighty God. Everlasting Father. That's what they're doing in Revelation. Almighty God. Don't miss a trick. He shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom shall be no end. Well, that's logical. God's kingdom couldn't have an end anyway. Then said Mary the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be entitled, designated, and be the Son of God. Behold thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of hers called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. Notice verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. Of course, conception takes place in the womb. But there must be a previous act if the child is to come from human beings. The egg has got to drop down in the womb. The sperm has got to come up through the vaginal canal and so on. But this places everything in the womb without a man. So if it's without a man, it's without a woman. Man doesn't produce the sperm. Neither does a woman produce the egg. All right. That's John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it says, no man has seen God in time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him, which is to lead him forth into full revelation by the use of words, by description. All right, fine. Now let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who in many parts and many ways spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also we made the ages, the dispensations, who, this Son, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, in other words, who being the outraying of his glory, the expression of his substance, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. Now that's a very, very wonderful personage. Now, you get your thinking caps on with me. We're going to see where we go. Now we're talking about this one for a special purpose of understanding Godhead and what is going on now and what to look for. So, this one here, in whom God reincarnates himself. We've read about him. Okay, now let's just stop here and talk about a normal birth. So that we can associate the normal birth to the supranormal. In a normal birth, each egg and each sperm contains 23 chromosomes. Hey, you're here, Diane. You've made a lot of study of biology plus biochemistry. Peter would know more in biochemistry. But this is true, isn't it? Each egg and sperm contain 23 chromosomes. Now, let's just stop here a second. Got to find something. Chromosome. Biological term. Each of several thread-like, rod-like, or bead-like bodies which contain the chromatin during the mitotic processes. And I hope this doesn't go over Ann's head. Diane's head sure is going to go over mine in a hurry. Now, the chromatin, the portion of the animal or plant cell nucleus which readily takes on stain. So there's a portion of the nucleus of a cell. Now, it says the chromosome evidently contains a portion of the animal or plant cell nucleus, which readily, I guess, is viable or something. During the meiotic and mitotic processes, meiosis, maturation process of gametes consisting of chromosome conjugation. Now, the gametes, either of two germ cells which unite to form a new organism, a mature reproductive cell. So in here, we're talking about how the chromosome is that which is responsible through what lies in it and the processes inherent in it to literally produce fresh cells. Is that kind of right? Something like the amoeba, he divides. But this is not amoebic. This is where two come together and allow to produce a cell, which in, and that's what they do. They unite and become one cell, right? And out of that comes all the other cells. Okay, mitosis. Usual method of cell division. In other words, the cells in the body don't go crazy. It's a process known to all life. It's natural. Now, genes. Okay, in a normal birth, each sperm and egg contains 23 chromosomes. There are, therefore, more than 8 million ways they can combine. But let's face it, they never combine in 8 million ways. Now they might, with hundreds of millions of people, but no one person has 8 million ways. Because soon as the combination is set, isn't this right? The combination is set. They just divide according to the combination. Right? You know what I said? You know what I said? Well, look at that. Let the sperm and egg get together, right? They become a cell. Like they come, you know? Then everything comes from it. All right, then. Nothing else enters. It just comes from those two that got together. So there wouldn't be a chance for one person to have 8 million combinations. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, then each chromosome has as many as 1,250 genes. Never mind the Georgians. Consider the genes. Genes. Biological term. The unit of inheritance, probably biochemical in nature. Now, do they know anything beyond that statement? Do they know more since this was written? This was maybe an old dictionary. They said probably biochemical. I guess you let us stand to that as being across the board. Which is located on and transmitted by the chromosome, and which develops into hereditary character as it reacts with the environment and with other genes. Now, I suppose the environment means what's there in the human body is producing it. Is that what the environment means? Or, like, suppose there's water around it, like, or what that substance. Okay. That's from the Greek word genea, meaning to breed, or the kind. Okay. Now, listen. That makes possible combinations into trillions. Possibly one followed by 9,000 zeros. That's a human birth. So if you don't think you're pretty intricate, that's why Brother Branham said the virgin birth of Jesus was nothing alongside of God tracing a cell down to 6,000 years and getting just what he wanted. Okay. Now, no way does any one person receive the benefit of all that. One followed by 9,000 zeros. Not saying it's not there. Now, think of eyes and skin, hair and pigmentation. Just the combinations that must lie there in that cell. It goes back generation, generation, generation. If it could be released, now listen carefully. This is my thinking. If this could be released in one person, it would take a patchwork man at least as big as Texas. Yeah. What would his skin be like? The gradations. You know what variegation is, don't you? And monochromatic. A monochromatic is taking one color and building it to degrees of intensity. Variegation is where you take it and you variegate it, showing in different areas, and you can add to it. Using even the scales, the monochromatic and the variegated, which we would be using in this case. All right. I don't like to do this because I'm sitting up here and you can't do it, but I look at four people right there. I look at the fifth one. I look at everyone. Ain't one of you got the same pigmentation. Now, you might come close. And you might come to, well, there's Caucasian, Negroid, and what's that, red one? I don't know what all this. What's there, five different kinds of main races? Red, yellow, black, white, green, purple, whatever you got there. Look, you can breed purple dogs without hair. They've done it right now. That's what the Incas had. They've rebred them. People after the unicorn. They got unicorns today. Beautiful little creature with a solid horn coming out of his head. I'd like to buy one, but I ain't got the kind of money. I wouldn't anyway if I did have the kind of money. Yeah, they got him right now. That's not a true unicorn in the sense of, you know, whatever that was. God knows, I think it's a figure of speech. But these men read enough books, and they have bred what is known as a unicorn. That's cute as a button. It's like a goat. Have you seen that in pictures, Sherry? Sure, y'all. If you haven't seen pictures, get yourself a book somewhere, because they're really cute. Okay. You consider in one person just one element. Merciful heaven. Like, you'd have, four people standing on the land space of the world to be big enough to produce all of this? I'm talking about this for a purpose, see? I got something in my mind. Now you listen. This is the story of attributes. Right? Attributes. Attributes, that which attributes. I got myself in a bind on that because that's true, but look at it, it's a lot different. Things have attributes. And the attributes manifest because the attributes are lying there and must come to another place. Hey, if you got too much sun in your face, get over here somewhere. Don't move. Don't worry about me. You can move around, just don't make a lot of noise. You know. You're not making noise, but if you don't want that sunshine in your face, just move around a bit till we get the thing fixed. Now, you see what we're talking about? This is the story of attributes that we're looking at because you talk about attributes of a rose. Soft petal. Green stems. Green leaves. Certain type of leaves with serrations on the edges. Some don't have so many serrations. Some are long. Some are round. You designate what they are. Those are the attributes coming forth that were within those genes. The genes are being manifest. The chromosomes are being manifested. See? All right. Attributes. Okay. Jesus was the attribute of God in flesh. Now, no one person is the heir manifestly of that which lies within two cells, the sperm and ovum. Just some. No one person is there. to the whole contribution of mankind. Although in there recessively, yes. See? Not so with Jesus. It wasn't so. God took all his attributes. Just as we have genes and chromosomes, that was the Logos. You follow what I'm saying now? The Logos, the attribute, the genes, the chromosomes, the life substance within God. Now, he will never produce another God. But there lies in him that which can produce an actual copy. So that Jesus was the actual outreigning of God. And he was the exact copy of God. Because God took from within himself the attributes that lay there. And he miniaturized it. You know something? If you let your thinking go, you'll find that everything that's in science today is a reflection from the spiritual. It's a perversion, but it's a reflection. Miniaturized circuits. A chip. How many thousands of words or something can a chip contain? I don't know. They miniaturize things so tremendously, and I'm just reading today, the other day. Well, look, let's face it. Just pick up any little pseudoscience magazine, and it'd have to be pseudo for me because I'm not smart or real stuff. I just about got myself ordering a science magazine, and I remembered I had one once and forget it. I'd be all day looking up terms, and I can't even, you know, bug myself with ordinary terms without going into that. But look at the pseudoscience in the special sense of the word. Mechanics Illustrated, yeah. Popular Science. Electronics. It's not really pseudo, but it's, let's call it immature. I can't even get that through my head. No, I just don't work in those realms, but I read them and something comes out of it to the sense, hey, this guy tells me here you can take a little tiny piece of something, mic or something, and you can fill that so full of information and these things and that things that thing, it's just marvelous what to do. Now they got computers cut down from big as houses and as big as Empire State Buildings almost. How about some computers years ago were 3 floors high, weren't they? Sure they were. They're down to what, the size of your thumb or something almost. Well, maybe not that good, but they're getting there. Miniaturization. Circuitry. Throw that in the spirits, we'll see what you come up with. In this hour, see? Okay. And so miniaturized did God reduce the full, how do you put it? Now you can't put input because nothing was put into God. He was. The full spectrum, put it that way, the full spectrum of that which was contained in God was miniaturized and reduced to the size of a sperm and egg, which must be seen by a microscope. And I know one sperm, 15,000 sperm go across the cross-section diameter of one hair. And I think the egg is, what, 12 times bigger? Remember what you're talking about? It's much larger anyway, because it needs the bedding ground. Whatever it is, I don't know. It needs it anyway. And some substance there which they're going to work with. Okay. Those two cells, as a baby is born, and the baby that was born from Mary, through the chemistry of her body. That's where she was used. And the human race is identified with God through the processes of a human body because it was the processes of a human body that got us messed up. Right? You follow me? Sex. Now, the processes are going to get us out. So God miniaturized in essences, not God himself. I don't believe in any Puss in Boots story. If I'm wrong here, I'm just wrong. But I'm sorry. I must be telling you a lie if I'm telling you wrong. But I don't believe that. I believe Logos. Attributes. Logos is the
word containing the idea. It is the expression. So we have an expression containing the resolution of God. That's well put. Not containing God, the resolution. The idea, the whole thing behind it. So God brings that all together and puts it into two little cells, sperm and egg. And the woman's chemical facilities bring that into a human form. The very life of the attributes of God are in flesh. See? God doesn't get born. God doesn't die. But this was for the purpose. Now, no wonder he was the express copy, the very outraying of God. He was and is and shall be the very script for the enactment of the roles of God, or the enacted roles of God. He would be the very script. Easy? But it's a role. So the Word is performing God. This one here is performing God. Yeah, that's right. So far, so good. As we were in our earthly father, so this one born and called Jesus was in his father. And he had to possess in flesh every qualitative attribute in a human form. What did he say? He that has seen me has seen the Father. What more do you expect? The attributes were there and they made flesh. I got this from Brother Bram. See, the attributes. So it takes me a long time. I've got 25 pages of this, never used them. I prefer to use this. Then God came and indwelt him. Right. He said, I'm the Son of God. And when he said it, he meant that he was a son of God in a way which no other person ever was or could be a son of God. Amen. And when they caught that, they said, if you're the son of God, we're going to kill you as a liar and a blasphemer because you make yourself equal to God. Because the firstborn son that's a real son is equal with God, the same as Adam was equal with God. He was equal with God on the ground. That he was the manifestation of Godhead in his act. Because Adam was to rule and understand and take over. God was directing him. Jesus was the last Adam. He was the great one. Ain't going to be no more Adams. Thank God. Who needs him? That is the first Adam. He's the second last Adam, but not that first Adam. He botched things up. Just like we're the last Eve. Thank God. Oh, man, who wants history to go on? Okay. Then God came and indwelt him. This one was the prophet. The seed or germ was already there for the manifestation because in God is to be prophet. John said, behold the Lamb of God. In God was to be sacrificed. A lamb. He was the blood of God. In him was that particular attribute. He was redeemer. In him was to be that. He's mediator. In him is to be that. On and on and on and on. Now, then God left him. And he could not die. That is, his life taken from him. His life couldn't be taken from him. See? That's what death is. It's taken from you. Couldn't take it from him. Couldn't die. So, he gave it up. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. The spirit went back to God. And God allowed that spirit with his spirit to go down with the soul into Hades, joined together, raised him to the right hand. So now, he is Lamb of God. I'm talking about the one raised, in whom God dwelt. God left him. The Garden of Gethsemane, stood there as perfect man, couldn't kill him, suffered more than any man living, drained the blood out of him, still couldn't die, punctured the vessels up here, that morticians tell, when you puncture the body, these veins don't, they don't come down, the blood doesn't come down, they gotta be punctured. But morticians don't puncture them, of course. Doctors tell us that. I don't know. I heard it anyway, read it. A lot of things you read you don't know, but they claim that's how it was. The thorn crown brow let the blood out, the blood couldn't come normally. A bit around the pericardium, the sword went up there, blood and water came out. Of course, he was dead by then, because he gave his life up. He couldn't die. See? And then when he died, they couldn't hold him. No way. See? No way. All right. Now, that risen one, see? He is Lamb of God. He's our sacrifice, our propitiation, the turning away of the wrath of the offended one from the offender. He is our mediator, our open door to get there. He is our intercessor, the one to keep us there. He is our priest that combines within him mediation, intercession, constancy, prevailing. He cannot be other than Hebrews 1 and 3, which we read, the very outraying of God. See? And he is also the manifestation, and will be the manifestation to us, that all God ever is and desires to be to us. Now, that is why we see Revelation 1, 5 to 7, and don't make two gods. Now you may think I'm not going to get back to what I'm into today about the judgment. Don't you just hold on, because we've got another 3.5 hours to go. We're just not going to take, you know, waste our time today. I'm sitting down and get that thing up here right where I don't have to even yell at you to make sure my voice carries. We can be here till midnight, you know, and then somebody can fall out a little window. You won't break your neck. It'll just wake you up, smarten you up. We got this all figured out. All right? John, Revelation 5, 1 to 7. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now that's over in verse chapter 4. I was in the spirit, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper, sardine stone, rainbow around the throne, sight like an emerald, pillar of fire. All right, the pillar of fire. And he had a book, sealed, seven seals, written within and without. No way to open it. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, whose words are in the book? To loose the seals are up. No man in heaven, none on earth, none on the earth to open the book. Now it takes a man. Now, God can't do it. It takes man. Well, you say God can do what he wants. That's a lot of hogwash. God can turn himself into a frog. I suppose he wants to turn himself into a frog. No way. You know, people have an idea because God is spirit. He's not limited. There is nothing that can be described or is purposeful if it is not limited. Now, just think it over. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you ain't much of a scientist. You ain't much of nothing. I just tell you flat. Because everything has to have definition to be purposeful, and God has definition. And thank God he's got definition, the kind that never, 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 never changes. Everything else can go potty and pooey. This earth can disintegrate, the same as we're disintegrating, and change, but God never does. So you better believe he's got definition. See, anybody tell you he hasn't, that's somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about. So in other words, the next thing you say, well, I waved my arms, and I waved my arms through God. I sniffed, and I sniffed up God. Fact. See where you go? You go the way. The wrong way. A couple of boys are acquainted with some of that stuff. What man? No man. Looked everywhere. Yeah. He looked everywhere. No man in heaven. No man in earth. No man under the earth. All right, verse 5. Weep not. The lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Happy veil. Open the book. The loose and seven seals are up. I thought he was... Now, what is he reading? And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Where did he come from? Now see, there you are. You say, wasn't in heaven. Where was he? Well, this oneness will say, well, you see, he was sucked in. Suddenly, God poofed him out. You can think a lot of things. You can think anything you want. I don't care what you think. It's your business. I can think what I think, too. My thinking is, I could be wrong, but don't believe it. It wasn't ready to be revealed, that's all. That's all. See, it's time for revelation, and it wasn't ready. But now he can come forth into revelation. And when he does, he came. And who was that bleeding lamb? Jesus, who is the Christ. All right. I got to read further? Where is it going to go? 1-7. I read it. Came and took the book out of the right hand, and sat upon the throne, opened the seals, and so on. Now, Revelation 1:1. That's the right one. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things that come to pass. Okay? Next, Revelation 4-5. I went much. No man found to open the book to look thereon. One of the elders said, weep not, behold, the lion tribe of Judah, the root of David, prevailed to open the book thereof. Oh, I'm read final. I said Revelation 1:4-5. I read the wrong place. I got to keep my thumbs from wandering. Okay, start again. Revelation of Jesus Christ, who God gave to show his servants things shortly come to pass. He sent him by a certain messenger John. Okay, 4-5. To the grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is his to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, that's the firstborn amongst the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our own sins in blood. Now there's one thing coming forth from two parties. Notice, one which was and is to come, the Almighty, and the other is Jesus Christ, who is the one which was dead and is alive, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Okay, the 8th verse. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, you can tell who that was. That is the original and only and true Elohim, the same as up here. The one that's on the throne is Elohim. See? He's the same one. Well, we'll talk about that later in Revelation 5, but not right now. Okay, Revelation 1:11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. And what you see right in the book, on the seven churches are in Asia and so on, and with it 17 and 18. And I saw my fellow feet as dead, laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Now the salutations are from two different people. One is in a spirit form, one's in a physical form. God can't die. Jesus did die. He did rise. Okay, we understand that. Now, Revelation 11:15-19. The seventh angel sounded, great voice in heaven saying, the kings of the world have become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Doesn't say they, it says he. The four and twenty elders sat before God, and the thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and art to come. That's Elohim. Because of taking thee thy great power and his reign, the nation rang and their wrath has come, the time of the dead they should be judged. And thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and destroy them, destroy the earth. The temple of God is opened in heaven. There was seen the temple of the ark of his testament. There was lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquake and great hail. Okay? With that, 15:3-4, Revelation. And they sang the song of Moses the Lamb, a servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Okay? Revelation 17. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. They are called faithful and chosen. Revelation 18:8. Therefore, shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly burn with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Revelation 19. and 6. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitudes, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. 11:17. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, him that sat upon it, called Faith and Truth, and righteousness doth judge and make war. Eyes of flame of fire, and his head were many crowds, his name written, no man knew but he himself, a clothed vesture, a dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. That's the Logos again. Here he is, and here he is in the form there. Watch. Arms of all him were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, which to smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had this vesture on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is it? It's the incarnation. God back in the body. You see? Why? Because the hour dictates it. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 1, 21 to 28. I'll get back. Don't worry to my sermon. I got lots of time to do that. You got lots of time to listen. Sure. Thank you for your kind attention. Kind or unkind attention. Just stay with the boat. God has someone to preach to. Otherwise, what's the use? I don't want to go on the road. Just want to get in the road. All right. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. That silver become dross, thy wine mixed with water, that princes are rebellious. companions of thieves, everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause the widow to come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge mine enemies. I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy kin. I'll restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterward thou wilt be called the city righteous, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of transgressors and the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Okay. Compare this with Matthew 19:27-28. Then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said, Verily said unto you that follow me in the regeneration, the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. You shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There you are. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Jehovah the Old Testament, Jesus the New. You're back to the reincarnation. You're back to judgments. See? Just keep all those things in mind. Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the New. It's the same one. He just left the pillar of fire. He left a theophonic body that looked like a man, was an angel perhaps. See? Jesus had a theophonic body for a while, then he was an archangel. That's that Logos. God putting his attributes in there. But this one that was born of Mary was the fullness of the attributes. And if we would have attributes in the human being of a complexity of one with 9,000 zeros behind it, that would be one person out of that number could have all of those. Or let's face it, it's worse than that. It's that two people could have the same. What about him in whom it dwells? There's no limit. Yet people want to just sit and become stagnant. How can you become stagnant when you're identified in him? How many trillions of years will it take for us to plumb just one attribute of God that we stumble at today? Staggers the mind. And so it should. We're in the staggering business. So the Elohim of the old, Jehovah the old, Jesus the new. All right. We now go back to this our day. Now see, I started back there saying, telling you, hold it. Judge, prophet, judge, king, prophet, priest, king. An incarnation has to take place, bringing them together. In the meantime, the elements as are requisite and prerequisite, because nothing is requisite that is not prerequisite, are coming forth. When I say elements coming forth as are requisite, based upon a prerequisition, or predestination coming into effect from foreordination. Going on now. We are looking at God manifesting in this hour in a certain way, and if you don't give it back to God, you're never going to make it. This is no rabbit's foot. See? Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. We're dealing with the judge. Okay. 20th verse. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, if you're a prophet, tell us. He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst right now. It's here, and you're looking at it, and you can't tell it. Because if the king is there, the kingdom is there. You're not dealing with earthly propositions, my brother, my sister. You're dealing with Creator. In him was the seeds of Creator. That's why he took the bread that was dead and blessed it, and it came alive. He could touch the bier of the man dead, and he came alive because he was the resurrection. See? He was that one. The attributes lay there. That's why he could say, he that seen me has seen the Father. Yeah, that's no problem to me. You just give old Lee Dale all the money the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers have. Give me power of attorney. When I start spreading the money around, you'll see the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. I'm just giving a lousy illustration. What's real? I ain't very smart. I'm just groping, seeing what I could, what maybe God will show me someday. Well, he will as we go on time. Now, he said, if I'm here and I am king. Now, he's no phony king. Because he said, can I not presently call 12 legions of angels? He was the captain of the host of Israel. But it wasn't time. It's time now. He said, I got to leave it sit. I got to leave it sit. I got to let that sit. I got to let that sit. Why? Because the Son of Man must suffer. Let's watch it. And he said, disciples, the days will come and you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you won't see it. And they'll say to you, see here, see there, going on after to follow. Now he tells you, first lightning comes out of one part of him, shines out of another part of him, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Well, come on, that wasn't that day. It was based upon that day. This is future. See? It was in a human body in that day. But the light that was in the human body will repeat. You understand what I'm saying? He came forth as a virgin born one. God in human flesh. The attribute of God. The Logos. Now, it won't be that way. As the original light was in the man and he was that light. See at that time? Next time, Son of Man is strictly light. Prophet. Thy word is a light. But he must suffer and be rejected of this generation. What will the next generation do? According to all these fundamentalists are dead as a bunch of dodos. And they're going to be right here with the foolish virgin. And they'll go absolutely to the great tribulation. They got this mixed up. Oh, we'll all recognize him. Like fun you will. Then if you do recognize him, then he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. They said they're crucifying him afresh to themselves. Now listen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Repeat days of Son of Man. So it says right here. Ate, they drank, they married wives, gave in marriage, and didn't care two bits for him. And when he was in the midst, they said, so hot. We've known that for years. What's all this talk about? Persia, Persia, Persia. Listen, I could take my coat off and get up and fight now, but I'm not going to, just too hot. But I want to tell you something. I don't buy that nonsense. I just see myself again, a bunch of Christ killers. You can say what you want. I'm not bitter, and I'm not vindictive. I'm just going to tell you something. Smarten up, people here. Smarten up. I'm not wasting my time with a bunch of deadbeats. Not that I'm God or anything, but I'm not preaching here this way. for a purpose of just talking, because I'm not just talking it, because my strength goes there. I can be sick for days after after a long subject like this. I just soon look out the window and watch the birds. But I tell you, this is far greater than watching birds, watching doves and eagles, hopefully. Now listen, they were too busy with what? Marrying and giving in marriage. I'll tell you what that is in my books, running from church to church in every consideration, because they can't stand still. You get what I'm saying over here? They can't stand still for the first resurrection. That's what Ephraim couldn't do. Can't stand still. I'll tell you something. Anybody want to leave this church, just do me one favor. Say, Brother Bill, I'm not coming back. And I'll see that you know. But tell me. Couldn't be too late. I can't waste my time. You know, I'm not hard and mean. I'm just telling you the truth. I want you to become serious, and I want you to be dead serious. Because, look, it's laid out here in Scripture. That says the holy word of Almighty God. I'm not ranting and raving up here like some idiot. That tells you. Destruction lies for that nonsense. Flood's going to come in. Now, the Bible said the flood will come in, and God raises a standard. God's His own standard. Tell me one thing that God isn't His own. Because He's the original. He's His own messenger. He's His own prophet. He's His own pastor. He's His own everything. See? Now it comes in like a flood. Sure. There's only one to stem it, that's the Son of Man. Same day, likewise the days of Lot. Ate, drank, bought, and sold. The same thing. Now, in one area you have idolatry to the apex, Noah's day. The other you have sinful, degenerate, lustful sex to the nth degree. So blinded were they in Sodom when the angel struck them blind, they were still searching for the door. Men will be carried away religiously to find the door that leads to excessive spiritual adultery until there's nothing but filth. They're already blind and they're doing it. See? I said, brother said, let's get this. There comes a day when it's too late to repent. There comes a day when it's too late to change the mind. And it tells you of that day right here, and it's the day of the Son of Man repeating. God vindicating that He is on the scene. God vindicating He is here with the prophet. The Lord shall descend with a shout. The gates of hell are beginning to squeak and squawk. And they'll squeak more and more and squawk more and more, and God knows what will happen to you and me as there comes a squeeze from the inside, the outside, the whole thing. There could be sickness, and God knows what comes amongst us praying and trying to get help. No help. Watch that squeeze that can do anything, but it can't squeeze God out of you. Can't squeeze you out of God if you're a true child of God. See? One great test of deception. I think we're pretty well over that. See? Because false, for a man to be a false prophet isn't a guy that gabbles and says something wrong. A false prophet is a man that's got a ministry that's valid. That could shake a universe almost. But he's off the word. Ain't none of those amongst us. Never will be, far as I can see. Oh, they tried to get him out here west. That's their bit. I wouldn't give you time of day for it. Thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Not just present, but revealed. All right. Prophet is Son of Man. God Elohim. As in Genesis 18, 17 to 23 and 25. Now, I'm nice, and I wrap your knuckles, and I'll get nice again. Don't mind me, I just live here. It's a house, isn't it? Okay. So I start to live. I'm groggy until I get here, and then everything gets whoopee-goody.
So I say, I sit down here in a chair, and pretty soon I have a little swinging basket to swing me in, fan my brow. I just preach day and night for, you know. I could tease you, it won't hurt you none. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all nations here shall be blessed in him. God's kingdom is going to take this whole world over, kiddo. For I know him, he'll command his children in his household after, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord, do just in judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that was just spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is grievous, I'll go down now, see what they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, if not, I'll know. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. Abraham stood yet with the Lord. God sent messengers, flying saucers. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So on. And 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner to slay the righteous of the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right now? Listen, he's prophet turning judge. And when the word comes back to God, they turn down my messenger's flat. Judgment hits. You got to turn down the prophet before judgment hits. God is becoming judge in this very hour. Now, we're talking about the judge and the bride because he's standing in the midst. We'll get to that. But I want to show you the transition. See? And let me ask you a question. When Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt up, who owned it? Nobody but God. Don't think they came by that place for a long time. Don't worry. Same when Nineveh fell. Just the hooty owls and the satyrs and things went in there, and the crows, I guess, and a few buzzards. And the people were scared, even Gwinnett. See? All right. That's what's coming on the earth. See? The righteous judge stood there as a prophet. Now, wait a minute. Just leave that a second. Let me find this on here. Well, it's hard to get these little minor prophets in here lined up. Okay. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing. But he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets. He stands there as a judge, but he can't judge until the word goes forth. See? No way. See? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Now, truly the righteous was Abraham and Sarah. They were not down there in the plains, but in heavenly places in the mountains above the plains. Now watch this righteous judge when it comes time to deal with Abraham. Chapter 20. Abraham journeyed thence from the south country, dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, she was already changed. Yep, she was young again. Back there in the tent, when God spoke to her them and said, now Sarah's going to have a child, she said, shall my Lord and I have sexual pleasure again? In other words, what's going on? We couldn't do it before, have a child. Ain't going to have one now, likely. That's all it meant was a pleasurable act. She didn't believe. And Abimelech came near her. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, you're a dead man. The woman that you have taken is a man's, another man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near him. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? And he said, it says, my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother in the integrity of my heart and innocency in my hands have I done this. Now you see, this old boy is a nice old boy, but he acted on the revelation. He acted on a lie. He said, well, a nice man told him a lie. It was still a lie. What Abraham said at that time was not the word of God. People got mixed up with Brother Branham too. Brother Branham said, it wouldn't be nice if your son and my daughter got married. They said, well, they're supposed to get married. They're still not married. You got a nice man, said the other guy. wouldn't have married him either. Brother Bad said, I'll come by and eat a steak in your house. Talk to a nice young girl who's going to grow up and get married, perhaps. So now his brother Bad's got to come back and eat a steak. Was he talking as a man? Or was he talking as God? No, Abraham wasn't talking as God here. He's talking as a man. A scared man, too, by the way. Talking as a rabbit and a scared rabbit. Not sheep. He could be a scared sheep, too, because there's a scared sheep. That's what he was. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now, he was dead both ways. He was dead if he kept her, and if he was dead if he gave her back, and Abraham didn't pray. We say God's pretty prejudiced. I hope to tell you he is. I hope to tell you he is. See? All right, Abimelech arose in the morning, called his servant. What have I done to offend you? And so on and so on. Right on down the line. In verse 17, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, and his wife and his main servants, and his children. For the Lord had fast closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Abraham, Sarah's wife. In other words, he just turned the tables on and said, okay, you're going to get what Sarah had. You're all dead. Of the tribe is gone. All right. The righteous judge wreak vengeance on evil. But nowhere would he touch his own. So he wanted to state a premise here. They can't be broken, can't be touched, can't add or be taken from, can't do a word about it. It is this. As we consider the role of judge, we are talking about that role contingent to the bride. For we saw this judge in the Lord's day standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands. Now remember, redemption is by blood. And the lamb was God's flesh. Flesh that became human through Mary's womb. Her body. So, no role. No role of God. Nothing from God. Bar none. None whatsoever. And under no condition. Can compete with the Lamb. Or abrogate the protected, vicarious mission of the Lamb. But rather adorn and complement and enhance and delineate and glorify the Lamb. In other words, with God you don't pit role against role. You understand what these legalists have done? They pit role against role. Is God divided? Is he some kind of a nut to change his mind? Does he have a role this day and he forgets it the next day? Well, come on! No way. The judge stands in the bride. The same pillar of fire is the righteous judge. Veils the righteous judge, veils Elohim, standing right here, and the investigating angels of flying saucers have gone out. Amen. Come on.
Right.
Now just try to pit the judge against the Lamb, same person. And that's the center of the universe, is redemption. The centrality of the cross. So, whatsoever role is manifested will invariably delineate, glorify, enhance, complement, adorn, elucidate, magnify the Lamb. Okay. I like this, don't you?
Amen.
I'm ready to go home yet. Oh, yes. Oh, well, Tim posted a few more pages, but those few pages are the hard ones. There's a long, long part in there to go. It's just a long, long way to go. But the longest way home is the sweetest way around. When you love, when you're in love. Used to love to have, if you had a horse and buggy in the old days, it was so nice to have the horse want to eat grass so you wouldn't get the girlfriend home so quick. Never even had a horse and buggy. We walked, that was better still. You always make her sit down and just say, you ain't going home yet, kid, no way. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 14, for the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they should live, they which live should not henceforth live in themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. In other words, where Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In other words, get born again. And the Holy Spirit lives through you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech of us. We pray in Christ to be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that's laid out there, exactly what the Lamb does. Now, let's go to Romans 5. We want to see Romans here, the 5th chapter. And beginning in verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. How can the man that saves you from wrath kick you in the teeth into wrath? Legalism is sick, sick, sick. To attempt to make the judge fight the Lamb when he is indeed the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's sick, sick, sick. It's Antichrist. Amen. Legalism stinks. And let me tell you, eternal security is nothing but legalism extended in the opposite direction. Grace, amazing grace, is to know him. And those attributes manifested and now projected toward us. That's why they were given in the first place. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Who made the reconciliation? God did. Theologians don't want to accept that. Poor. Anything but that makes me sick. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for the law of sin. For until the law of sin was in the world, and sin is not imputed, where there is no law. I thought there is no law. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How can you impute sin to you? There's your omega reflection, as against Sinai. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sin, have similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him to come? In other words, they had sin in them, so they died. Now listen, but not as the free gift, so also, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, since through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded. Grace greater than sin. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many judgments of justification. People say, I'm not worthy. God says, you are. It may cost you something one day to say, it cost me 45 years of hell that I paid. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one much more, overflowing more abundant, until there's no comparison, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus and on those thrones. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one shall the free gift come upon all men and the justification. It can't pit the Lamb against the judge. The minute you do, the judge walks up. There's no judge with the Lamb. One person, but the Lamb is not judged. He's a justifier. But you wait until it's time for judgment and the bride's gone. That's another story. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. That's the elect. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, the same one that's judged is the Lamb. You get to the Lamb first, it's all over. The Lamb gets you first, it's all over. All right. Okay. In the power and authority of God is both life and death. Deuteronomy 32. Now, you still following me? See, I'm getting you back now to this judge. I had to take it all the way around to show you exactly who is who and what is what. See? That God, before he came forth in the Logos that came flesh, always was. And he had to become flesh in his own way, which God himself cannot be a human being per se. Because he's spirit. And he does not make himself a human being per se. He takes all those attributes, everything in there, and this one becomes that son that he can inhabit. And thereby God becomes son. And that life that was shed was a peculiar life, brother, sister, not like yours and mine. It was not the life of Adam. It could not have been the same, or he would have got us right smack dab back into sin. You're talking of a last Adam. Second Adam. Last Adam, second man. See? There is a comparison. But all Mary was an incubator. Never forget that. Or you're just right back to being a Trinitarian Roman Catholic or one of the whore's daughters. And that's not very nice. Merciful God. Who wants to be branded that stuff? All right, 36 of 32 of Deuteronomy. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself of his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there's none shut up or let. And he shall say, where is their God, their rock in whom they trusted? Now this is over the idolatry. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifice and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. God said, I'm your protection to Abraham. I'm your reward. Now he said, who is it? See now that even I, see now that I am he. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hands. For I lift up my hand to heaven. And I say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand shall take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. I'll make mine arrows drunk with blood and my sword shall devour flesh that with the blood of the slain of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon mine enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries and be merciful unto his land and to his people. He's going to be merciful to our land. We're going to get America back. We're going to get all these strip mines and all this gunk and all this gook and this atomic stuff is going to be completely gone. God's fire is going to whack and burn it right off. Oh, that's a good fire coming. We don't know fire in the good sense. We're going to know it in the good sense. You know fire in the good sense. Hey, that's great. It made this piece of iron so I can mold it into a plowshare or something. That's nice. That's not the fire of God. Fire of God's greater still. It just remolds everything. Puts it back in original shape. Don't ever fear the fire of God. Don't get near the pillar of fire. That's none of your business. But don't fear the fire that's coming. You won't. Because look at you'll be in the original shape when you get out of here. You won't need any fire. Don't worry about that. Nah. See how beautiful the Word of God is. Okay, Romans 14. Power, life, and death. Notice how he works them. The book of Romans, 14th chapter. See, remember, judge and lamb. Don't pit them against each other. Take them as they are given. All right, 14, 7 to 9. And none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. He might be Lord both of the quick and the dead and the living. There he is. Now we got the dead and the living in here. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now be thanks be unto God, cause the triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge, blessed in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and them that perish. To the one we're the savor of death unto death, the other life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? There it is again. Life and death. God can give life. He can kill. He can do what he wants. Okay? We go to Acts the 10th chapter. Just want to read along here. We're coming to some thoughts. We'll just bring right to your attention. 34. Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. But every nation, he that fears and worketh righteousness, except with him. The word which God sent the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which is published throughout all Judea, came from Galilee after the baptism that John was preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that suppressed the devil, or God is with him. And we are witnesses of this, of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and openly showed him, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded the people to command us to preach the people, to testify, it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. See? To give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. Now he's going to judge the quick also, which means those that are quickened from sin. But that's a different judgment, as we'll see. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:1-8. Now don't sell him short. Just go right along with everything, but you don't pit one against the other. Because God can't change. Those attributes don't change. They come perfectly every time. All right. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. As he's in the kingdom, things set up, judge and king are melded together. Where is that? That doesn't take place on the earth here. Our judgment, brother, remember Brother Branham had the vision. He's going to come and judge you according to the word that you preached. Now, he's not going to judge him according to the word as though that word's going to be a sword against him. It's, did you preach that word? They said, we're resting on that. Then our hope is this, that we're going to get picked up and taken up because that was their hope. Or they're still going to sit there. Can't get out because God's got to bring them forth with Jesus. The Bible says he's got to bring them forth. Just the same as he went down there and preached in Upper Sheol and led them forth. He's got to bring them out again. He's got to do it. It's not going to be automatic. It takes his offices and what he is at that time to do it. At our time, he's a swallower of death. The mad beast subduer. God is subduer at this time. Hey, we should get into Zodiac on that. I never will, though. Remind me sometime, and we'll maybe read a bit from Bollinger and different ones, Seiss and different ones, because I'm not smart in those things. But just made me think, you know, one of the signs in the stars, one of the signs of the Zodiac. Now, we got, you know, 12 major signs of the Zodiac. Is that right? 12 major signs. On those 12 major signs are many minor signs. And one of the signs is, I believe it's one where the man lion or something like that is over the great serpent with the sword to eliminate the serpent. So he's a subduer, the eliminator. That's he's a subduer, yeah. Yeah, commander in chief. Right now he's our commander in chief getting us an order, marching orders. Yeah. See, lots of these things are there, see? We're looking at this. Okay. Preach the word in seasons out of season. Reprove the group. Exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. How many verses have you got to read? For the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, just preach what I want to hear. Preach what I want to hear. Preach what I want to hear. Forget that nonsense. If I preach just what you want to hear, and you've simply got an itching ear, you're nuts and I'm nuts too. Well, I'm not preaching some pleasing things here. Look at it. I sit up here and stand up here, and I'll tell you a lot of things I say just make me quiver inside because I say, hey, man, you're in trouble. You know, got to watch. But watch thou in all things that endure affliction. Do the right advance and make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth. Now watch. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them who love his appearing. We're in the appearing right now, brother, sister. You're being judged right now. But there's a difference. Because the judge can say, life, death, life, death, taken, left, this, mine, that, no. You know, even animals judge. If a female that's given birth to a bunch of animals or even birds and all. You're even hatching them in the egg. She's smart. And a bunch come running up to her and want to eat. No, she just kicks them out of the way. She knows her own kids. Judging is absolutely natural. And since we were made in the image of God, and though the image has been marred, remember Adam broke the image back there. Is there a quote on it? I forget what it is. I can't remember anything anymore. But what's the use? I got a Bible here. Because all the quotes, this Bible and the quotes are the same thing. I just get what he says, and then I take right the Bible. That's it. See, because he said in there, before he gets entirely king, he's judging here. See, so I'm watching the transition. So I just watch the transition, and here he is, a judge. Now we ain't finished by a long shot. I'm just reading. See, just getting warmed up on this subject here. Let's go to 4:12 of Hebrews and see some more here. Right in our very hour. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and any two-edged sword, piercing in the dividing center, soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Samuel's day. Neither is any creature not manifest in his sight. God. God judging and proving he's here. Discern means to judge between. And he's judging between us by the word, because when he reveals the word, it lets us know who is righteous. Lets us know what is righteousness and what is wickedness and who serves God and who doesn't serve God. Malachi 3, 17 and 18, based upon 16. Then them that feared the Lord and thought upon him, they spake awful one together. And the Lord hearkened unto them, the book of remembrance written. And they'll be mine, saith the Lord, and make up my jewels. Now spare them as a man spares his, servant, a son that serves him. You shall return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, and them that serve God and those who don't. See? Spiritual concept of Christianity. You can't get away anymore thinking I can say what I want and do what I want, and I'll make a little sacrifice to God and say, hallelujah, Jesus, it's all over, and speak in tongues or something else. Not many here were tongues talkers in the first place outside of a couple of us. So that fell on deaf ears, but let me assure you, what you did too in your swill, don't get puffed up. You never even had as much of the good stuff as we had. At least we got as far as talking in tongues, you never even got that far. So what did you have? So don't get full of pride of some kind of junk that you had. It's all Limburger cheese. Sauteed in coal oil. Okay, 1 Peter 4:3-5. Might as well know the truth. That's what it's all about. You might as well grin and bear it, because bless God, I tell you, the Bible says, kiss the Son, or he'll laugh at you in derision. God laughs, don't worry. 3-5, for time past may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess, wine, revelings, banglings, abominable idolaters, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess arise, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Notice the quick always come ahead of the dead. Why? Because the bride is exonerated in judgment, and then he judges the dead. Brings them up in a resurrection all by themselves. Well, not all by themselves, really not. Because the foolish virgin is there too. All right. So we repeat. In the authority and power of God is both life and death. No doubt about it. But consider the Lamb. Consider the Lamb. Revelation 1:17-18. I saw him and fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I'm the first and last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. That's the Lamb. That's the judge. That is the Lamb. That is the Lamb that's down here as judge. That's the Lamb that's a prophet. Elohim is here. And this one says what Elohim says. Because he says nothing but what the Father said. And he said, I'm that one, he said, that paid the price. I died, and I'm alive. And I got the keys to hell and death. And he said, in your case, I've thrown away. They don't have a thing to do with you. And those that are there, just open the door and bring them out. That's why he's here. He's here to bring them out. He's here to see that we don't get in.
Amen.
Oh, come on, brother. We got this, and this thing is sewed up. Listen, don't you understand that, Lamb? You cannot. Everything enhances him. All right, in that lamb there is no power of death in God for that bride. It is exactly as Jesus said himself when he was here on earth. He's got to say the same thing today. The same voice repeats. John 5:19-24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever doeth the Father, though he also do the Son likewise, the Father and the Son working. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you marvel not. More extensive. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Sure, Father's in him. For the Father judges no man, commits all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, he is the honor of the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father that sent him. Truly, truly, I say, he that hears my word and believes in it, sent him, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation of the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. That's the word of God. Thus, as judge to the bride, it is Luke 18:1-8. Now that's the unjust judge. The one says, avenge me. Make justice work for me. You've given that there's a verdict on this thing. Bring it to pass. There's a word out. The righteous won't perish. Get us out of here. He said, amen, I'm going to get you out of here. You think God?
Amen.
Well, I got news for you. He said, I tell you, that, and shall not God judge his own elect that cry day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when I come back as a prophet, nobody knows this to be true. They're only guessing at it. They don't even know what I'm saying. They know the promise lies there. They know something about it in that respect. There's a word. There's a word. But he said, they won't even know when I come that I'm going to do it. I'm going to get him out. I send a prophet. Here I am, the pillar of fire. This is the day to get you out. I'm the judge that's going to exonerate you, put the law on working for you, get the word in your favor. They say, I'm judge. Prophet. William Brandis. Yeah. Jesus only. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. See where you're going. See where you come on. You can't dishonor a prophet of Almighty God.
Amen.
I don't care if you, some man says, well, but William Branham told lies. So did Abraham. Smart up around here. Merciful God, sometimes they've got to pick up the pen and hit people. We should be so used to the gentle word of God today. Man doesn't need screaming at, shouldn't need just one little tone. Should come running, make us come running to him and stand up straight as soldiers. It'll come, don't worry. It'll come. How's it going to come, Brother Bill? Going to come two ways, squeeze and love. I don't think I'd love a girl that didn't squeeze. Yep, squeeze and love. It'll be here. It'll be here, brother, sister. Don't kid yourself. I may get pretty touchy at times because I get up here and I preach under some kind of anointing, some kind, I'm not going to say what kind it is. Get up here preaching. And I see these things so clear. Don't worry, I'm not pointing the finger just at you. I stand here with fear and trembling. Romans 8:28-34, let's look at it. We know all things work together for them love God. To them who are thee called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to his son, he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and he called, he justified, and he justified, them he glorified. What do we say to these things? Well, could be we just might make it somehow. We're lucky. If God be for us, who can be against us? He has spared not his own son. What does that mean? It means just flat what he said. How in the world could God ever allow the sacrifice of one person for others? Then God didn't say, here, son, I'm going to shove you forward. In him was those attributes to step forward. They came from God. They were those attributes of God in flesh. See? And the word of the Lord had come to him saying, look, I tell you what, that's exactly right. You don't have to. But you have to because it's in you to do it. It was in Judas to do it. And going out and killing himself didn't alter the case. And Jesus dying didn't alter his case. The righteous one died. The righteous one rose. It altered our case. That's what was altered, was our case. See, they couldn't hold him. God before us, who can be against us? He spared not his own son, but delivered up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who dares bring me into God's court? Who dare arraign me? Care what charge you bring. It is God that said I'm righteous. Can't reverse his decision. How can the decision of precedence be reversed? How can the decision of outright planning, purposeful negotiation, and bringing into being be rescinded? No way! A dog is a dog is a dog is a dog. And a horse is a horse is a horse is a horse. And a rose is a rose and a rose is a rose. And justification is justification, 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 based upon the righteous blood of Jesus Christ, meeting the demands of God. How are you going to change the lamb? The judge enhances the lamb. Who is he that condemns me to death? It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen. Brother Branham said Christ is the attorney. He is the judge. And he's the whole jury too. You better believe it. Because his word in heaven is law. And every time something happens according to that law, the angels scream, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Righteous are thy judgments, O God. Time we learned them. Yep, that's the blood, brother. You can't put the the judge against the lamb. The judge was in the lamb. Where is the lamb? In the prophet.
Amen.
Where is the prophet? That was God the Word. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1. We were moving down the road a little better than we were 35 minutes ago. Ha, it's not even 4 o'clock. Just getting... I have not yet begun to fight. I've not yet been... You say, okay, Bill, quit meddling and go to preaching. Well, I've been trying that, but I don't know if you're listening or not. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, I beg your pardon. 5-10. For our gospel came not unto you... Oh, that's it. 1 Thessalonians? Yeah. No, what have I got here? 2 Thessalonians, first of all, I want. Then I want 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Go into relaxation. When? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. At that time, the bride gets relaxed. You know what? I haven't been hauled into court yet, but that could happen. And the sweetest sound anybody can hear in a court is, not guilty. Now, you might know you weren't guilty anyway. You might have been framed in God knows what. Because they could get me any time in Canada. They can run me and sit me in coop up there because you can't speak out against anybody or anything, or you call it hate. So if anybody wants to see me in jail, you just phone up there and tell them Vail's going up there to Brother Paul Burke Church, and he's going to no doubt hit the Catholics. Pick him up and throw him in jail. They'll throw me in jail. The same law's here, too, if you don't know about it. Your freedoms are gone. Might as well smarten up. Oh, sure, they said for years, you know, that acreage wasn't up there in Alaska, the 100-some thousand acres to put kooks up there like us. But then when they find oil up there, the cat's out of the bag. It was gold water, understand, that got the thing rolling. So see who you can trust. Republicans? Ha! In flame, flames of fire, bringing that which proceeds out of justice. See? Justice for sin fell on Christ. Those that don't receive him get the judgment. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15, 18. We sign it by the word of the Lord. We shall align in the presence of the Lord. Shall not take any precedence, that is, any preeminence over them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. In other words, it's going to take God to get us out of here the same as it's going to take God to get them out of the dirt. So what is it? Mercy. Say, hey, you know, the Lord's present here. That makes us something. Hogwash. Makes you worse than the whole bunch. Because he's got to come down and do something for us. After everything has been done, seven church ages were so messed up. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and smarting off. Like those stinking prostitutes out there. Oh, God. I one of the most vulgar sights I saw in my life was a white girl with a black man in front of the, on Old Dixie there where they got the big bear up there, in that area right there, near Siebenthaler, right near the circle. She was right in that little area there where they got a Gray's drugstore and a liquor vendor's or restaurant and a few things in there. And she had her skirt slipped plumb up in front of her crotch pretty well, and this black guy with her, and she was just lustfully throwing herself. Look what I've got to give to him or something. Oh, come. That's the church that Brother Branham saw with their filth. Prostituted themselves all around the country. Nothing but filth. And we were a part of it. So we don't got any preeminence. I'm going to tell you something. I believe it takes more God to get us out of our mess than it takes God to get them out of the ground. In fact, there's scripture for it. So we ain't got no preeminence. Should have a lot of humility. Yeah, I should have a lot of humility. A lot of sobriety and shame face. And diligently calling him Lord because he is Lord. And he'll descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Notice the various things where God places himself by way of the veil. The first is a voice, a shout. And that voice, rather, which is a shout, it's a human voice. It is not said to be the voice of God. And when William Branham, those words came, behold, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. That was exactly William Branham's voice that God used. As there's on a tape where he said, this is not William Branham speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the voice of the archangel simply means that is God, not in another veil, but showing that he is the superior one of all, which he is, to us, raising the dead. The trump of God is him calling us to his own wedding supper, which is ours. The whole thing laid out before us. Now, wherefore he said, then we which are alive remain, be caught up together in the clouds. Now listen, this one that comes to bring vengeance in the negative on the earth, judging, is here now bringing us vengeance in the positive. In other words, meeting out justice. And you know that word justice is a form of justification. See, to us it is, where we're declared justified. Now, down in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9-11, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, for whether we wake or sleep, we should live together. All right, it is Isaiah 40:1-2 that we are talking about. We're talking about it now, in the light of the Lamb, who is turned judge, cannot abrogate, not for 1 minute, what he has done as a Lamb. No way, shape, and form. Everything he does enhances the mighty work of the Lamb. Okay, 1 and 2 of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all their sins. Now, the word double for all their sins is, when you're in the Eastern Oriental countries, and this obtains for Israel, it obtains for the for the Mohammedans, no doubt, and for the Hindus and all the people in the East where religions came from. And that word there, when a man has criminally sinned against a person or owes them money, which he won't pay, the man gets fed up and he puts a sheet of paper on the wall of the church or the gate of the city. And he puts the man's name there and says, this man owes me so-and-so and has done so-and-so. Then he signs his name. Now, many times some relative will come by and feel sorry for the guy. Or the man will smarten up and do something about it. And he'll pay the man that he owes it to and makes the thing right. Then the man who was done wrong by takes the sheet of paper. And from the bottom, he folds it up double. And nobody can see it. It's all over. That's what it says here. The warfare is accomplished. The testing is over. Your sins are blotted out. Why? There's no sin there. The blood of Jesus Christ has scattered sin to the universe. And on top of that, he that is born of God does not commit sin, which means to initiate it. How can God initiate sin? It was the devil that did it. So it's blotted out. All right. Isaiah 41-2 gives way to 3. Third verse. The voice and the cry of the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley be exalted, every hill be made low, crooked place made straight, rough places made plain or smooth. The glory of the Lord should be revealed, all flesh see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, why did I cry? All flesh is grass, all the garden is thereof, clean there is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Now there's a word in all that condition that stands. See, while the word stands, it means we're just going to get a hard time. It doesn't say that. Did God's word stand? What word was given? For what time? O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings, get thee up in the high mountain. O Jerusalem, bringest good tidings, lift up your voice of strength, lift it up, and be not afraid. Send the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, his arms shall rule for him. Well, didn't do that back when Jesus was on earth. And his reward is with him, and his work before him. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and lead gently those that are with young. Who? God that made it all. That's the word the Lord's going to stand. How can you put a judge against the Lamb when the Lamb is the judge? Told you a long time ago that my mother always used to tell a little joke, and she always loved that little joke. You know, nothing against black people, like I told you before, but the thing was this, was kind of black lady, you know. We didn't have many in Canada, and of course, we didn't think much, you know, about the situation, but anyway, this black lady was in town. As I told you, a little contest given, you know, about which is the prettiest kid to be there. So they thought, well, they'd try to be nice to this lady. So they said, okay, you give the prize. So she walked over and gave the apple to her own child. Well, that's what God does. If God didn't prefer me as his child, forget it. If I was a parent and didn't prefer my child, something's wrong with me. Unless that kid's sure a mess. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the Lord. All right, there it is. No condemnation. He is prophet, lamb, and priest, and judge, and king, all in all. And above all, redeemer. The buyer back. By paying a price. All that was poured into the Logos, and from the Logos in flesh, it all was poured into the bride. The same Jesus in bride form is here. The same power is here. The same everything is here. That's what Brother Branham said. The sealer in is here to make sure of our redemption. It is Revelation 10:1-7. Now you know what that is. The mighty messenger come down. Time is running out. The prophet stands there. Every mystery is fulfilled. In Revelation 22:10, the book is open. Can't close it. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's filthy is filthy still. It's over. I'll take this. I'll leave that. It's all done. It was himself that came to separate the righteous from the wicked. It is himself in Revelation 22. Come on, let's look at it. Soon as the seals were open, the judging word has come forth. The whole thing is there before us. Now it says, I, Jesus, sent my messenger to testify. I'm the root and offspring of David. That's what he says. I'm the bright and morning star. That's arisen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now he's telling about the Spirit. The Spirit is moving. A revelation of the Spirit of Almighty God. And as Brother Branham said, the same as the servant has said, the Spirit of God does not mean a spirit comes out of God as though it were another spirit. It's God himself. Oh, my. Then people think there's more than one God. Then try to make Jesus God. You can't make Jesus God per se. He's the attribute. The Logos. And when God reincarnates him, he will do so, and he'll disincarnate himself. But they're one. How are they one? Simple as ABC, joint control. The Son says nothing but the Father's already predestinated. That's where their oneness lies. Brother Brand said that that's the last thing we see of God and the Lamb is the Lamb is on the throne of Zion, 1,500-mile pyramidal structure, and the Lamb sits there, and over him is what? Pillar of fire. What's in that pillar of fire? God. But I another question. What's in the bride? God. We're all one. They may be one as we're one. We're right at the end of the word. When the word, oh, you can't change it, brother, sister. See, look, this is in particular a history book of definition and of prophecy, revealing a foreordained predestination. It's arrived. It's no longer a word in history. It's here. It's in human flesh. That's what I keep preaching. They don't understand what Brother Branham said. Once it was a word, let there be light. When the light came, was no longer a word. It is reality. And today it is life. It is no longer a word. It is reality. All right, let the false anointed disavow this message. Sure they will. Because they don't want to give them privilege. I care not. For here in conclusion, Numbers 23:16-24, and Revelation 19:11. Let's go to Numbers 23. Beginning at 16. And the Lord met Balaam, put a word in his mouth and said, go again to Balak and say thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up a parable. Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. You say, you got to be kidding. I can smell it. You shall. I'll destroy those who come against my judgment. You hear what I said? Exactly right. I have not beheld anything. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is in the camp, and the shout that came with the prophet was the king in our midst, not yet manifested. The judge in process. And the whole thing coming in a divine order of that which the king promised coming into being. We are about to go into the millennium. All right. Closing with scripture reading. It's the 10th page of my note. Got no more notes to read, so I don't go any further. Aren't you sorry? Poor, lucky now. Come on. 19th chapter. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. War has not been declared. The trumpet is only sounded for the war. And the war comes when the message is rejected. In the meantime, it is a war of unbelief on the word of God and against the righteous ones. His eyes a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. That one in Revelation 1. That one in Revelation 5. That one in Revelation 10. Is now in human form. He has crowns. For a long time, the Antichrist bunch had the crowns. They got the three big crown deal tiara over there in Rome. The vicar, the false prophet, the false judge, the false ruler, Antichrist. Here's the real one. Here's the real crown. The saints have crowned him. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That's going to be interesting. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Doesn't say it, it said it's called. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the saints. The bride. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it he shall smite the nations. Rule them with a rod of iron. Treading the winepress, the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. Why? Because they have overturned his word in the earth. And now judgment falls. He has his vesture and his thigh name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel stand in the sun. And he cried a mighty voice. Come and gather yourselves under the supper of the great God. Not the supper of the Lamb. The great God, all flesh destroyed. The beast and the false prophet taken. Now listen, who's doing that? Well, somebody's got to tell us. It's right here in Scripture. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. And the talk then shall that wicked be revealed from the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his presence. Who is it? The one that's down here now. Is going to destroy the Antichrist. He's already pulled the skids from under him. He's already destroyed his foundations. Yep. You know what would give him foundation today? A true bride joining the organizations would give them strength and foundation, because we're pillars, part of the foundation of the church, but God has put us wise. And we'll not be trapped. And when we're gone, there is no pillar left. And watch the organizations come tumbling down. Watch that the great feast will be in the feast of the marriage supper. Here is the feast when we come back with God in the glorified flesh that was formed in the womb of Mary from those trillions of genes, attributes. Oh my, what an unfolding of God in Christ is yet to come on this earth in the millennium, and the thousands and millions of years that are going to follow. You know, I can sit here and think this is pretty good for a duck like me, you know. In fact, if I were to congratulate myself or not congratulate myself, whether I'm telling the truth or not, it certainly feels wonderful. It's just marvelous to see these things come forth in the Word of God. And to know we are privy to them, we have access to them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If this was not true, it'd be nice for those who do have the truth. It's going to be hard. Like I always say, Brother Brad, if we're not Brad, there's a Brad up there somewhere. I don't want to stand in their way. Look, if we're not getting the truth here, there's somebody going to get it. And if this can be as thrilling and as energizing as it apparently is through the revelation, and I've never known revelation than what I've known today, the peace of God, the good things of God is known today, in spite of myself. Well, I'm going to be, I'll tell you what, may the Lord allow me to stand around and cheer for those who do get it. One day there were some people that had the right idea. I was around old John, and he said, look, he said, I am not the bridegroom. I am the friend of the bridegroom. And he said, it's just so nice to stand around and look at the bridegroom, though I'm not the bridegroom, and just cheer him on. And you know, I believe there's got to be a people somewhere in whom that spirit is. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not bride when we say that. That means we've got the right spirit. Yeah. Because John had the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, and that spirit made him say that. So we're getting somewhere to the spirit that wombed Jesus, you might say. So we're fast approaching. But I want you to know this, that judge in the midst of the bride, he's got nothing but praise for the bride. See, because she is his masterpiece. And there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No way. And that doesn't say who walk in after flesh, after spirit. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all. What it tells you, what the law could not do and is weak to the flesh, God coming in human flesh did it for us. And then, through the blood and the sealing back to God, has guaranteed that if you die, you're going to make it. And he said, is I'm going to come and get them. And they've already got the guarantee. I'm going to come down and see that you get your guarantee. I'm going to separate the righteous and wicked. My hand fans in my hand. I'm going to separate, and I'm going to see that you make it. Now that is the just judgment of God that's in the earth. You know something, folks? You've got a piece of real estate right now that's never going to ever decrease in value.
Amen.
But it's going to keep increasing with the increase of God. Because that piece of real estate is so valuable when God gets through with it. He is going to take and transport it up in the heavenlies to the marriage supper. And then he's going to bring it back down here upon this earth, completely reconditioned, and make it the center of the universe. So I'll tell you what. It may be that people think this little real estate we got right here isn't up to much. And you look in your three-way mirror and you begin to look down your nose and wonder what people think. Personally, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. My wife doesn't like that, I know. Because I'll go dress in my good clothes and pick up dirt and mess them up. I'll, you know, go someplace in my rotten looking clothes. Lee, you know you got a cupboard full of suits. It's just a clothes closet. Hey, why don't you put something nice on? Of course, I say the same thing to her at times too. So it works both ways. But you know, there it is. You know, that's look down people and just look at this. Look, I want to tell you something, brother, sister. The Bible puts a pretty good premium on this body, regardless of the fact that it is a vessel that's dying and will die. There's a change coming in these cells where there'll be not gold-plated cells, there'll be the gold of God. Because Brother Branham said the cells are going to begin to form around that which lies within, the very thing within us, that Word is going to form. See? And that's where we're bound to that. That's the Word of the Lord. Brother Branham on this earth here stood in the form of a prophet judge. The voice of God, the shout of God in this hour. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you absolutely did not do it. You are justified, the pure, sinless bride of Almighty God.
And he said, thus it been raptured, take three times, thus it is spoken, thus it shall be. Now look, we're in that last, we're last countdown, it's all over. And you know, really, from this hour on, we ought to have, look, let's face it. If this word doesn't change us, forget it. Let's face it. If this preaching isn't the truth, I messed you up. But I'm going to tell you something. If this preaching is the truth, and I can tell you assuredly, from the foundation, it is the truth. And if you get the foundation right, the other blocks will not be wrong because they won't match and everything is matching. I'm going to tell you something. From this moment on, you're going to find more change in your life than you had previously. And I'm going to tell you why, because I'm looking for it too. I'm not looking back. I know I've got a terrible propensity in many ways to be negative in many things. And the truth is not so negative, but fighting mad. Just fighting mad about things. And righteous indignation of the wrong sort. Blow my stack, I'll admit it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I, within the revelation in my heart, I've got a God that's greater than any force in this world, and if I decide, which I won't, but if it should happen, through my temptation, I should outlie Abraham and David and Jacob and all the rest. He isn't going to leave me in the lurch. There's no way.
Praise God.
And I'm not telling for us to go out and sin. You know, I said if there should be ever an hour for virtue, this should be the hour. If there should ever be an hour to be honest, this should be the hour. To be truthful, we should be truthful. To be temperate, we should be temperate. To show grace and mercy, all of these things I am for. But that doesn't do it anymore. Then sin can destroy. Then you're right back to one precept. As Terry said so beautifully, grace is God plus money. The minute you change that, you simply go back to a principle or a precept. And my God is not a principle or a precept. He is God. There he is being unveiled today in the midst as our fortune, good fortune by the prophetic message delivered us and remaining in our hands to see him in that transition period. Prophet, priest, judge. Prophet, judge, king, prophet, priest, king. Yeah. See, it goes all the way through. Now that one that's prophet, judge, king, is the one that's prophet, priest, judge, king. See? All the qualities lay in him. 1,000 titles merely describe what lies there. Everyone moving and working in its sphere. One predominant one time, one recessive, but never changing. It is the unchanging God. And to know that that one has pronounced meritorious judgment on us in this hour through a prophet is pronouncing the inglorious and the destructive judgment upon the world. Right? Amen. Let's rest. Heavenly Father, again, we are so happy to have been in your house here to be together, to know the things of God, and know, Lord, that here again, if there wasn't one feeling of rejoicing, there was not one little trickle within us of inspiration that could be felt. We know that the word of the Lord will do it just the same because it does not depend upon us as though we had a part in it for the performance in this hour. For this word of promise, Lord, is what you are doing, and we open ourselves in consecration and say, Lord, do it unto me. We can say with the prophet, we have consecrated ourselves to this presence, to this prophet, to this judge, to this king, to this all in all. We are the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord coming into the inheritance. And it is you who have done it all and are doing it all. Lord, we would like to show our appreciation by that thing called a closer walk. Many people describe it as such, but we might describe it as, Lord, to show our appreciation. Because we know that we couldn't love you except you loved us first. And there isn't anything anybody can ever do for you except you did it for us first.
and we doing it is not because there's a debt, although there could be something stated that way, but be rather because there is a gratitude for the removal of a debt, a favor given. Lord, may we, therefore, out of gratitude, and that's a pretty big word, respect, loyalty, begin to walk in the Spirit as well as live in it, in a way that, well, it, Lord, it'll just cause us to be a little more happy with, not with ourselves, but with the fact that, well, here we are progressing, and we know that you want us to progress. We're trying to please you, Lord. We really are. We trust that in this all, the great concept of being pleasurable to God, reacting from His love, will manifest. That's what we want, Lord. It wouldn't be much of a favor to you, but we'd feel good about it, too. Just have ourselves cut loose more and more and yielded more and more. That's what we'd like. And we pray for it. Bless each one, Lord, and just pray each one gets help this afternoon in the realm of the mental, the spiritual, and also physical, because here we are getting older and we're getting softer. And as the prophet said, if the body turns to mush from what's left in the ground, the brain turns to mush too. And we know, Lord, that that's a pretty accurate assessment of this hour. And we know that here we are, that we know more health rules, more about anything than perhaps any group ever lived outside of when you took Israel over into Palestine, when you were doing it all for them. And we were the weakest and the gommiest of the whole bunch. So we'd appreciate help. And we thank you for the help you've given, because it's sure been wonderful. And none of us has been tempted above we're able to bear, and none of us carried any more than we are supposed to carry. It's been good, Lord. It's been good, Lord. And we just want to thank you now for grace and mercy, and hopefully, Lord, we'll show the same grace and mercy to others that you've extended to us, because we know nobody's perfect, Lord. Nobody is. But we know, Lord, at this end time, there is this one thing left, that we cannot trample you underfoot. We cannot think and rethink. Not anymore, Lord. It's a changed mind that does one kind of thinking. And God, if I haven't got it, forgive me and help me. Let this mind be in us which was in Christ. Absolutely, absolutely, Lord. This end time. Help us to this end. And now we just praise you and love you. And we know you're going with us. And we'll be with us to the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now don't forget that Brother Terry's too is coming with us Tuesday night. If you can't be here, I know some of you can't. I guess Brother Dave's got to be out of town, but business is business, work is work. We understand that. There'll be a tape. No doubt we'll have it. And just pray about the meeting. And we're not phoning and inviting a lot of folk, because I'm just not. I think Brother Miller's coming over and a couple of his people. If you want to invite somebody, you go ahead. Now look, it's not a closed meeting, but you can't, in any shape or form. But, it's just a meeting. No big deal, but anybody's sure welcome to come and stand up or anything else. But that the meeting's on Tuesday.
No meeting Wednesday,
no, because one meeting week's enough for an old boy like me. My vacation time. So we'll be preached next Sunday. We'll go on to the subject matter of today, take it further down the road with you, and we'll go from there. So, that thing, take the name of Jesus with you, Brother Lloyd, start out. Hey.